all that stuff was out there. Washington, the University of Washington.
It is, you can boat up,
It is one of two stadiums in America where you can boat gate. You boat right up. The other one is Tennessee, Knoxville. You can boat right up there on the river. You boat up on the Puget Sound. You go right up. The boats, and these aren't boats. These are yachts, man. I mean, these are the big grads, and they're all tied up, and you can just hold boat gate and do the whole thing. And the stadium is this crazy mix of old school and some revamped stuff. At least it was when I was there. You walk to get to the press box. You walk this rickety wooden scaffold structure that drops you back down into the press box to walk.
Trestle?
It's like walk. I felt like I was walking through an old pirate ship. Yuck. Like that, it was dangerous. There was danger attached. And then I watched Jake Locker throw a whole bunch of interceptions. So that was also dangerous. But the game and the. I didn't realize that that university is in the middle of that town. I had no idea. I mean, it's part of it. That stadium really speaks to you. It's this college football everything. You know, it has its own kind of heartbeat in ways that some other places don't.
Well, I had my own experience with Alabama, like finally going to Tuscaloosa for a game, and it ended up being the Iron Bowl, which, so, I mean, now you're talking about real high stakes, and thanks to Mitch, because he helped hook that up. Him and Mel, like, surprised me, and we went down to Tuscaloosa to go watch the game, and I didn't have a college football experience. DePaul stopped playing football in 1939, which is way before I started going there. Still undefeated. Anyway, being up on that, they have like a little tent city outside of the quad that starts to build up the night before. And people are grilling and they're tailgating. And then the band walks through. And then you get in there, and to have both fan bases as evident, like there was a woman I was sitting next to who works for Alabama but is an Auburn fan.
Wow.
Yeah. And I said, even though you've been here, she's like, oh yeah, I've been here 20 years, but you know, War Eagle. And I'm like, wow, you literally make your money off the University of Alabama, and you are still like, oh, it's a family thing.
Maybe that's doubly satisfying that you're rooting against them. They're paying you.
Right. Right, you suckers are paying me, and I hate you. And I've got my orange and blue pom poms. There's something about like even SEC games. I went to go see a game at Kentucky, and Kentucky is
really,
you know,
really.
We were in Louisville.
Yeah,
I was like, oh well, it's 80 miles or whatever to Lexington. There's something about the whole game day experience.
Yeah, my college football experience was the opposite of that.
Yeah, weren't the games across the street from your dorm, and you were like, nobody nah.
And the teams were good and fun, and Spurrier was coaching and all that. But eventually, I was working a lot of the games. We were doing play-by-play. The games I wasn't working, I just didn't feel like working. I wanted to sit and watch and eat my Arby's and do my hangover. But
you have to do like, is Duke one of those schools? Like Alabama's got a little bit of this. Is it one Ole Miss for sure, Texas A&M, where you kind of have to dress up?
No, it used to be like that. I don't think it is anymore. When Duke was more of a Southern school, when it still had the Southern characteristics, that now as an international university, it's lost a great deal of that. But in my experience, there were still good old Southern gentlemen, and yeah, they would wake up and they would wear their tweed jackets, and their sorority girlfriends would put all the hairspray on, and they would drink their Jim Beam and Coke.
Wow.
And I would drink one and I would fall asleep and I would go back. But it was a very big, very Southern tradition, and Duke is much less Southern than it used to be. But the thing is, when you go to the stadium at Duke, it's carved underground. You don't see it. You walk past Cameron, you go through Clock Tower Quad, you cross the street, you go through the parking lot toward Card Gymnasium and Cameron, you go in between the two, and all of a sudden you look, oh, football stadium. It's like at your feet. And it's carved.
It's recessed. It's underground.
Yes.
Yeah.
On that, but if you come, and you can't really come at it from the woods on the other side, which is ground level down there. So you don't get the feeling of walking to the arena, like in Green Bay, for example.
Oh yeah. That's
in
different.
Green Bay, when you
drive up, it's just there.
Right. All of a sudden, it's like a dream logic kind of thing. You're in the middle of Wisconsin, like. Whoa, NFL stadium. What the hell? Where'd that come from?
They're so nice. Like, and it's I love going and being amongst Packers fans. And I remember driving up there.
You haven't had bottles thrown at you in that cage then.
I haven't. Everyone that I've talked to has been really nice.
I think you meant high school.
and I was looking for parking, and there's a driveway right across, and I'm like, oh, this is going to, I'm thinking Chicago, I'm like, this is going to be $100. Like, am I going to be able to expense this? Like, $20. I'm like, you mean, like, American
dollars?
Are you
missing a zero on that?
like, I can just walk to the stadium from your drive. Okay.
Yep.
Here's the 20.
I know.
Thanks a lot.
I know that the city of Green Bay and Ashwaubenon, which kind of butt up together right at where the stadium is, they were having problems with people, you know, some rich, wealthy Packer fans going in and buying the surrounding houses.
Makes sense.
And treating them only as parking / vacation houses.
Yeah, or game day.
Game day stuff.
Talk to people who live in South Bend.
For a few weeks.
They prepare for certain games. Yeah, they rent out their house. They know for this game, and this game that they're going to be away and making money by renting out their house.
So a lot of the SEC places, and Alabama is one of them, Kentucky's another. I've seen them at LSU as well. And even out of the SEC, I've seen them at Louisville. They're now like these like little teeny tiny pop-up houses that are being added to it. So it's like imagine a studio apartment and then just a row of them.
Oh, wow.
And it's like an ice fishing shack.
And you can like rent them out and you can hang out during the game in the parking lot and post game and all that good stuff. And if you have to sleep it off, then you can sleep it off. It's a whole different ball game in the South. It's a whole different
It'd probably be safer.
Oh,
I mean, if
that's,
you know what I mean? If that's what you're allowing to happen,
yes,
then that's probably safer, especially considering the length of drive that you're probably going through in those cities that don't have, you know, public trans and stuff.
And I think Louisville's their train cars, that because it's right up against the train track, so you can get your own little train car for the big game. Amazing.
And that's without a ticket? You actually watch?
You can. Okay. No, you're not watching. You can't see the game. Like, it's on a TV if you're watching it, but
you're there.
You're there. If you want to just be there for the tailgate and the extracurriculars, then you can do it right there on site.
Huh.
Buy yourself a little teeny tiny house.
That's a great idea.
It really, really is. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. He is Dan Bernstein. He is Connor McKnight. Together, they are Bernstein and McKnight. You can hear them every day, 9 a.m. until noon. The top of the hour of this very fine show is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves' Oscar Dansk was just named American Hockey League's Goaltender of the Month. Way to go, Oscar! You know what you get for that? Your own bobblehead night. February 1st at Allstate Arena. For tickets, visit chicagowolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
You would rather that he be bigoted instead of dumb.
100%. Because dumb doesn't go away. You can get rid of your prejudice by just having experience. Dumb is forever.
I mean, can you, if you're at the point where you're not taking a quarterback that's significantly better because of it?
Are we going to change Ryan Tannehill's name? Because didn't we change Josh Allen's name last week to Jamal? We got to come up with an R name for the brothers for Ryan Tannehill. We got to do something. Raheem. There we go. Raheem Tannehill. And the Tennessee Titans. Because it's the same thing, right?
Make me a bicycle, clown.
We settled on Riante. That was a suggestion by a listener, and we appreciate that suggestion. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. Here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a big show planned for you. Don't go anywhere, because Steve Stone is going to join me at 12:20. I am looking forward to talking White Sox offseason with him. The best analyst in the business is going to be here on The Score in about 10 minutes. We start the show, as we start all things, with a rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
Here is your rundown for Wednesday, January 8th, 2020. The Blackhawks gave up two goals to Elias Lindholm and lost in Calgary.
Hamonic shot didn't get through, and the Hawks fail to get it out. Here's Kachuk, the nice takeaway. Got it to Lindholm. He scores! Elias Lindholm with a bullet. The Hawks had it. That's the second Lindholm goal of this period that resulted from a Hawks turnover. The Flames in front.
Yeah, and that turnover was by Patrick Kane. Dylan Strome also has a right ankle injury. Robin Lehner struggling with his knee. Hopefully he'll be back soon. Hawks host Nashville on Thursday night. Now to the association. No bull stuff, right? Okay, good. How about this one? You want to talk about Melo? Melo is having a nice little renaissance for himself.
CJ Holding sweeps it low to the floor. Outside of Carmelo. Head down. 15-footer away. Got it! Carmelo Anthony drills it straight away from 16 feet out. 3:03 remaining in this baby. And the Blazers take a lead at 2.
Portland wins that game 101-99. Winners is the Carmelo Anthony jersey raising ceremony from when he was a Bull. Bulls legend, Carmelo Anthony. How about we talk about another Bulls legend? It's a little bit closer to being legendary. Bobby Portis just out here clotheslining people like he's Scott Steiner.
Look at this pass to Casey. Oh, look out.
Whoa.
Look out.
Now, man, those are dangerous.
Yeah, Portis got Caldwell Pope, and you saw the headband fly there, and he was in midair and about to throw it down.
I mean, he got no basketball.
Oh, look at Rajon right in his face.
All he got was head of Kentavious Caldwell Pope, and KCP saying, wow, where is everybody?
All I care about is my freaks and my peaks. Big Papa Pump is your hookup. Holla if you hear me. Yeah, he hit him with a clothesline, and then he got ejected from the game. We've seen Bobby Portis do that to his own teammates before. So he gets ejected in the second quarter, and it's good for him that he did, because the Lakers won 117-87. The bad news is that after turning down the max extension, not that he's not going to get another bite at the apple, but after turning down a max extension, Anthony Davis did this.
Here's Barrett. Randall underneath. Oh, look out. And that hurts. Anthony Davis took it right on the tailbone in the back. Wow.
Here's the introduction. Not like he had many before, but Anthony Davis, meet Mr. Floor. That smart.
Yeah, that doesn't feel very good at all. I mean, he hurts his back. Anthony Davis also said that he is not going to be in any of the festivities at All-Star. He's a Chicago kid, if you didn't know. Prospectus High School, right? So he's not going to be here for that, although he'll be here for the All-Star game, I imagine. He'll be an All-Star, but we'll see if he even plays. And then that's it. That's our rundown for Wednesday, January 8th, 2020. Not a lot going on, which is great. It gives us a chance to talk about a few more things and get you ready for the conversation that we're getting ready to have with Steve Stone, which I'm excited about because no one does it better than him. And it's also an opportunity to really dig into some of the things that the White Sox have done this offseason. And then you have them yesterday adding to the bullpen. It just looks as if they're putting together a team that really feels like it can do something in 2020, I'm not sure what, and we'll get Steve's thoughts on it, but do something. Someone asked me yesterday about season tickets, because I've had season tickets for the last couple of years. So I was down in the 100 level for a couple of years. I liked my seats there, but I didn't like the view, and I also didn't like having to try and fight off foul balls. So I moved up and got more tickets in the 500 level. And so the person asked me, what did I think of my seats? Here's what I'll tell you. If you're thinking about getting an inexpensive plan, I had a weekend plan, so plus a few games here and there, because Panther likes to go to day games when school is out. So I had about 30 games in my package. And to me, anywhere between 531 and 537 in the first seven rows are incredible seats for the value. So if you're someone who's thinking about buying in, and look, you don't have a ton of money. My seats didn't cost a lot, but I got four seats for a really good price in the 500 level. And if you're a White Sox fan on a budget, I would tell you that those seats are better than the seats down the line. I also like those seats, that those new seats they possess at the Goose Island out by the foul pole. Like, I like that because having a TV at my disposal is kind of cool. But for me, and if you buy, this is an important point that I shouldn't forget. If you buy some sort of season ticket package, if it's like the weekend one, or even I think a 10-game one, in the 500 level, you get access to the 100 level. Because I know that's a thing. Like, some people like some of the food choices that are on the concourse on the 100 level. So it's something to think about. If you're a White Sox fan balling on a budget, trust me. Like, I went to a lot of games and sat in my 533 seats. They're good seats. You really can't go wrong. All right, I'm going to keep talking White Sox, because I'm going to talk with the White Sox color analyst, Steve Stone. He's going to join me next on The Score and Radio.com.
Thanks for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Now, here's the thing. Saving money with Geico is almost better than playing pickup basketball, because there's always that guy who joins your game. He never passes the rock, he constantly bricks threes, and he'll completely hack you and then put his hands up and say, "No foul, no foul." With Geico, it's easy to switch and save on car insurance. No need to fake an ankle sprain because you're absolutely exhausted. So switch and save with Geico. It's almost better than sports.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on Radio.com? Download the app or head to Radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
If you're a fan of the NFL, come on over to the Deceptively Fast podcast on radio.com or wherever else you download your podcast. I'm Seth Payne. I'm a retired NFL player. You might know me if you're old and you follow expansion teams. If not, no big deal. We have a good time. And look, I've been hitting the head a bunch of times. But I still know some stuff. Most importantly, I interview people who know stuff. Players, coaches, media, insiders, the whole gamut. Check it out. It's the Deceptively Fast podcast at radio.com.
It all starts with just one thing. This year, resolve to use less gas. You can carpool to work a few days a week, walk any distance under a mile, and consider an electric vehicle for your next car. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Ryan Dempster.
This means what for the Cubs? What kind of hire is this?
A really great hire, David Ross. Groomed to do this, especially towards the end of his career, being a catcher, a guy that, you know, kind of played every role. He was a backup catcher. He was a starting catcher. He has done it all, and I can't say enough good things about him. I thought he was our best coach in 2013 when we won the World Series in Boston. It's going to take a lot. He's got a big task ahead of him, but he wants this, and he's going to do a tremendous job at it.
A staff, putting together a staff is always tough, and, you know, they'll put together the right pieces, and, you know, having somebody that you can rely on, somebody that you trust, and managing game situations. I think that would be the toughest thing is, as a manager, how fast things happen in the game and how fast they move along. You know, David's watched it. He's lived it. He always took every pitch seriously and paid attention even when he wasn't playing.
Listen to Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
It all starts with just one thing. This year, resolve to recycle more. Start with paper, bottles, and cans. Recycle electronics at e-waste facilities and complete the cycle by buying items like clothes secondhand. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
The White Sox signing all-star catcher Yasmani Grandal to a four-year, $73 million deal. And the television analyst for the White Sox, Steve Stone, kind enough to join us now.
Would you anticipate James McCann still as a big part of the White Sox in a platoon scenario where sometimes plays a little first base also?
Yes, absolutely. Dan, I believe that the two of them will make for the Sox one of the strongest catching combinations around. McCann was outstanding last year, and defensively he's very good. He calls a great game. I don't look to him to take a back seat to anybody. I think that he's going to play a lot. I think